if Matt Eberflus returns, I don't want them drafting another quarterback, because it's this endless cycle where, you know, you go out and, you know, you have this coach, he gets to draft a quarterback, and then the coach is fired, and then a new coach is brought in and inherits that quarterback, and then the quarterback, you move on from him, and then the coach gets to draft a quarterback, and then he's fired, and then, you know, a new coach, you know, it's the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. and you just kind of want everyone to start on the same page here. So if you're moving on from Matt Eberflus and from Luke Getsy, I think the best choice here is to just go ahead and start with a new quarterback, because, again, this would probably be Justin Fields. Yeah, I'm not. Wouldn't probably. It would be his third offense that he'd be learning. And again, is this the quarterback that, you know, the head coach wants, that, you know, offensive coordinator wants? So I think if you're moving on, I think you just start fresh, clean slate.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome into the program. Ryan O'Leary here, along with Alyssa Barbieri. Alyssa is the managing editor of the Bears Wire, which is part of the USA Today network. Our podcast here, the Bears Wire podcast, is available wherever you get your show, Spotify, Apple, wherever. Go find us, subscribe, leave that 4-star rating or 5 stars. Alyssa, I'm not sure how many stars you can leave
four stars.
Is it 4? Is that the highest, or was 5 the highest?
I think 5. I was like, Ryan, are you giving our show a 4-star review?
Yeah. Well, I'll take 4. I'll take 4. But if you want to give us 5, that's great. But yeah, leave us that review. Tell a friend, subscribe. That's how you could support us. How you doing this week, Alyssa?
I'm doing good. It feels like a very long time since the Bears last played a football game. Obviously, they played almost a week ago as we record this on a Wednesday. So it's been a while, but the Bears got a win, Ryan. Something. I mean, I think that was the most confident that I have been going into a game, that the Bears are going to win. And they didn't make it easy. And I was like, oh my God, if they lose to the Carolina Panthers, I'm like, Matt Eberflus might be fired, like, on the spot right there. But no, they squeaked it out. Defense had a very impressive performance. They allowed only 6 points. It was crazy. It's like, you look at the final score and you're like, okay. But we forget the special teams touchdown. I was like, oh my gosh, the defense really got the job done. The run defense continues to be really good. And Tyson Bajan in his 4th start, you know, he's now 2-2 in relief of Justin Fields, who should be coming back this week. So, I mean, it was definitely a memorable game. Another one of those primetime games that I despise, just because I have to be up until like 2 or 2:30 in the morning, like working, but it's always easier to do it, you know, when they're winning. So Barry, I was happy about that. And it also made their draft pick from the Carolina Panthers, you know, it's number one again. So here we go, Ryan. I mean, that was definitely something to celebrate.
Absolutely. It was the most, we talked about it last week. It was the most important game of the season, at least for us, right? Not for the players, not for Matt Eberflus probably, but For us as fans, that was the most important game of the season. It was like a Super Bowl. The Bears beat Carolina. Something like that. The Bears beat Carolina. They send them the 1-8. And the Cardinals get Kyler Murray back. They beat the Falcons. And then the Bears, so even after the win, Alyssa, they're 3-7. So in terms of the 2024 draft, to your point, the Bears not only have Carolina's pick, which is back to number one overall, but their own pick still sits at number 5. And I don't see that improving all that much the rest of the season. We'll talk about that here coming up. But you've got to celebrate the win at home in primetime. This is one that Bears fans could easily celebrate and feel good about. Kind of a perfect weekend. Oh, yeah, by the way, for those of you that hate the Packers, they lost too, right? And you're actually tied in the win column with the Packers right now. So it's I think it was good stuff all the way around for the Bears and their fans.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a good weekend. I don't want the Packers getting too close to us, though, because I want them to be a bad football team, which they are, but also have one of those middle-of-the-round draft picks so that they are just, like, in purgatory. I mean, we want them to suffer a slow, painful death, you know, and quick and easy. That's not good enough for them.
I didn't think about it that way, Alyssa, but that makes perfect sense. I'm sure Bears fans are like, yeah, you know, they get the pitchforks out. They're like, yeah, Packers suffer. I totally get that. So more good news on the way, I think, for Bears fans, and that is Justin Fields, right? He is, I would say he's back as a full practice participant, right? He has not been officially named the starter here for the game against Detroit, but I think we're starting to see a trend that way. Are you excited? Have you had enough of the Tyson Bajan experience? Are you ready to get back on the Justin Fields train and see, and, you know, kind of ride this thing into the offseason and then ... you know, see what happens next for the Bears and figure out where they're picking and what they might do in the future. There's a ton riding on the last 7 games of the season, and you'd hope Justin Fields would be back ready to take advantage of this, you know, these final, this final, you know, opportunity to leave this impression on the organization and everybody.
Yeah. I mean, Fields has missed the last four games and it might as well have been an eternity. Tyson Bagent, just, I'm very happy for him. He was able to go 2-2 in place of Fields. And I think the Bears have found a really solid backup quarterback, but now these last seven games, I mean, you look at the Bears, they're 3-7. They would need to essentially win out really to, you know, have a chance at the playoffs. They don't, right? Especially when you look at their schedule coming up, they're going to reach the tough portion of it now. So when you really don't have anything to play for, now it's about, right, building for the future. And you need to see if Justin Fields is going to be part of that future. And like you said, you know, Matt Eberflus did say today that Fields will, the expectation or the plan is for him to start. That's pretty much a guarantee without being guaranteed. So it'll be exciting to get him back in the lineup. These are a very important seven games for Fields where, you know, Ryan Poles and the Bears are essentially setting up to be in a really good spot in the offseason where essentially you could have the number one draft pick, or at the very least, and I'm talking about the Panthers pick, or at the very least, what, like a top two or top three, I think, you know, looking at the Panthers, this team, their schedule the rest of the way. I mean, it feels like that Panthers pick is going to be top three guaranteed. So now you're in a perfect position if you want to take a quarterback and you want to start over it to do that. So now Justin Fields has to go out and just play lights out and convince Ryan Poles that, no, I can still be the franchise quarterback. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, Matt Eberflus was asked about that, like in terms of, you know, what do you want to see out of Fields in these final seven games? And basically he said consistency, which I think that, you know, Bears fans in general have been wanting from Fields, because we've seen him this season where he's had some of these showings where he's just been lights out and he looks so just confident and assertive and decisive when he's out there throwing the ball. And then other times where he just looks like he doesn't know what he's doing out there. And we kind of need, obviously he's playing different defenses and there are certain things going his way and certain things not, but including that offensive line. But at the same time, we need to see some consistency, especially where I feel like at this point, and I know we're probably going to talk about this a little later, but I feel like Ryan Poles might already have an idea of what he wants to do at the quarterback position next year. So now it's up to Fields to make things very difficult on him. And he's going to get a really good opportunity to do that on Sunday against the Lions, where this, I mean, if Justin Fields in this offense, in the passing game especially, can really get going, we could see another shootout like the Lions just had with the Chargers. And don't think that's a battle that the Bears would win, but it's something where that's the kind of performance you want to see out of your quarterback, so that when you fix the issues on the roster, including the pass defense and, you know, the pass rush and all these things, that those are performances that will help you get wins. So, I mean, it's just going to be a big last couple of months here for Justin Fields. And I'm just excited for him to be back because, I mean, Tyson Bagent did a good job, but there's something different when Justin Fields is out there on the field. And I'm excited. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm excited for the Bears to go into Detroit and lose, but I'm excited to see what Justin Fields does.
Yeah, I'm right with you. And I think you nailed it. You're speaking it and I'm thinking it and I'm nodding along with you. Like, has Poles already, does he already know? My gut tells me, Alyssa, that he does. My gut tells me that Ryan Poles knows what he wants to do this offseason, whether he wants to draft a quarterback high or continue to build around Fields like he did this previous offseason. I have to feel like he knows, right? I can't imagine that we're still evaluating, like, these next seven games are really going to sway him. Maybe it could change, to your point. Like, maybe it could. If Fields balls out, he beats some of these really good teams. Maybe they pick off one of these games against the Lions. They got another game with the Vikings, who look like they're playoff bound as well, right? Like, maybe they pick off a couple of these games. Fields looks great, and he does change some minds. But has that decision already been made internally? It kind of feels like it has to be, right? You know what I mean? I don't know. I think that's, like, another little factor here is, like, are we pushing forward with Fields? Is that evaluation even still ongoing, or has that decision already been made? I think, boy, it's all going to come to roost here, Alyssa, in the next 8 weeks. And I'm here. I got the popcorn ready. I'm here for it. I don't know how this ends. The Bears, you know, rightfully so, when you have high draft picks and you could trade one of them, you have to stay tight-lipped about your plans, and they're certainly going to be tight-lipped. But I got the popcorn ready for what's going to happen. I mean, it is just, it's fascinating. And but, you know, make no mistake, these next seven games for Justin Fields are huge. They're monumental. And then I think maybe we could look at, maybe it's a good exercise to look at the list of quarterbacks out there, college quarterbacks, the top guys that all the pundits are saying are going to be drafted earlier in this draft, sooner rather than later, Alyssa, and say, which one of these quarterbacks would you rather have over Fields right now? Do you think that's an exercise worth having?
I think so. I mean, like you said, you didn't know how the movie ends. As a Bears fan for 20 plus years, I know exactly how this movie ends. The quarterback carousel has been nonstop in Chicago, and it feels like that's where it's headed. That's not necessarily where I want it to go, because I mean, with Fields too, I mean, I just think that that's a frustrating thing too, is he has the skill set. Like, he is a great thrower of the ball. Obviously his athleticism, but there are some things he still needs to clean up. And I feel like his time in Chicago also, like, there are some things that need to be fixed, right? Cause he doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. And that's, you know, you could say that's because of what he had to go through his first couple of years here. So, I mean, I feel like we're trending in that direction. I agree that I think the decision is made. And like you mentioned before, Ryan Poles is someone who is always looking to the future. We saw that when he went out and traded for Montez Sweat. He said he was doing his due diligence when he looked ahead to free agency, essentially, and really didn't see, you know, an option to bring someone in. So he went out there and made the trade for Sweat. So he's looking ahead constantly. And when you have two first round picks and two first round picks that are trending to be in the top five, perhaps at least one of them probably is going to be the number one pick, you have to be thinking about that. And I feel like he's been thinking about this for some time, even going back to when before Fields was out with the injury. Right. So, I mean, at this point, I do feel like Poles is leaning towards going out and drafting a quarterback. Obviously, I would love for Fields to go out and prove him wrong. And that's the thing. It's not going to be enough for Justin Fields to go out there and do what Tyson Bagent did in those wins and just kind of manage the game. You're going to need to see Fields step up and take over games and show him that you can win because of him and not just with him. Because otherwise, Ryan Poles has some top options in this draft class coming up, which there are a lot of big names, and he can have his pick of any, especially if he has that number one pick. So, I mean, this is really, the onus is on Fields here over these last seven games. It's just absolutely huge. And, you know, we've seen what he can do, like the athleticism. You know, I'm expecting to see him use his legs a lot more too, but also you have to really get the passing game going, especially the deep passing game, which is what we were missing with Tyson Bagent, right? He managed the game well, a lot of short passes, quick passes, didn't really take a lot of sacks because, you know, that's not what he does. He gets the ball out really quickly. But with Fields, I mean, he's someone who, as we've seen last year and even this year, is anytime he has the ball in his hands, he has the potential to make a huge play and to score. So, I mean, I feel like over these last seven games, Justin Fields is going to have to just play at his best, the best of his career at this point, if he's going to convince, in my mind, because I think Ryan Poles has already made the decision, if he's going to convince Ryan Poles to stick with him instead of go with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I feel that. Fields has that edge of your seat factor whenever he's playing. That's why I think that's why you're stoked to see him back on the field this weekend, Alyssa, right? You're always on the edge of your seat with this player. But you know, the writing might be on the wall. The writing might be on the wall when you have a chance to pick whatever quarterback you want. And the Bears might have that option. I mean, the Panthers, we were looking at the schedule, Alyssa, before we hit record, and we're not seeing many more than two wins on the Panthers schedule. You know, you got to worry about the New York Giants, and you got to worry about my New England Patriots. Those are some bad, bad football teams coming at you. And Carolina's not trying to lose. You know, they're not trying to tank. They have no interest. They're not trying to help the Bears out. So, like, yeah, you got to worry about that. But I think at the very least, the Bears are picking in the top two with that Panthers pick. So it makes you wonder, like, if you got a chance to draft Caleb Williams, is Caleb Williams a better prospect than Justin Fields right now as we speak, right? Drake May from UNC, is he a better prospect than Fields as we speak? You know, we could go through the two Heisman front runners, Bo Nix of Oregon and Michael Penix Jr. of Washington. Penix beat Caleb Williams head to head, and then Caleb you know, jumped into the stands in mommy's arms and cried. And that's been a big topic among college football and everywhere. And maybe we could get into that too. Your boy, JJ McCarthy of your Michigan Wolverines, Alyssa, I think Jim Harbaugh and McCarthy, wouldn't that be, that might, I know you're a huge Michigan fan, so I think you would pass out if that happened, if McCarthy and Harbaugh came to the Bears.
See, that's the only instance where it would be acceptable for me for Harbaugh to leave Michigan.
Okay.
And again, we know Ryan Poles, right? He's someone who, he loves getting those homegrown guys. You know, if you go and get Jim Harbaugh, who first off is just a heck of a football coach, but obviously being drafted by the Bears, playing for them, and JJ McCarthy is from Illinois, grew up a Bears fan. Like, I could definitely see Poles doing something like that. I don't think that scenario is going to happen, but it's possible. But yeah, it's so many different options, like you mentioned right there. And it's a lot of homework that has to be done, right? Because obviously when you look at, you know, last offseason, what Ryan Poles did, like he was, you know, he made it clear, like, I have to do my job and do my due diligence on these quarterbacks. And he didn't see a quarterback that he would rather draft instead of sticking with Justin Fields, which I don't know, in hindsight, I don't know, CJ Stroud's looking pretty good. So
he is.
I mean, he might have blown it there, but I mean, you have to make those decisions again this season and this offseason. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult to stick with Fields instead of going with one of them.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. What do you think of Caleb Williams, Alyssa, right? I am intrigued by the talent. I'm concerned with everything that comes with it. And it's not that he's a bad person or a bad human or I question his character or anything like that. I just question how much he's bought into his own hype. You know what I mean? Like all the stuff about he wants to make threats that he'll pick the team he goes to. He'll decide what team he's going to. Caleb, you can't do that. It's not allowed. That's actually against the rules. You don't get to pick what team they pick you. That's how it works in the NFL. But he thinks he deserves, like, there's the reports he wants a stake in ownership when he's drafted. He wants to set that precedent, you know, and, you know, then there's the scene, you know, we saw the scene. Now people are probably mixed on this. The hardos, like me, are probably like, it's okay for men to cry openly, totally, but heaving and weeping and wailing in mom's arms in the stands. It's like, oh, Caleb, what are you doing, man? Could you just do that behind closed doors? Why are you doing that right in the stands? It was just like a weird scene, him climbing into the stands and crying in mom's arms. I don't know, Alyssa. Like, men are allowed to cry, like Tom Brady during the Brady 6 documentary about fears of not getting drafted. Totally acceptable. Tears on the field after your team loses in the Super Bowl. Get it. Weeping in mom's arms, though, during, I guess, what's going to amount to a meaningless loss to Washington. Like, I don't know. My right eyebrow raises a little bit. It's like my right eyebrow is at my scalp right now when it comes to Caleb Williams. I don't know if I'm all in on the player. I don't, if the Bears drafted him, I'd be fired up. I think I love the talent. And again, I'm not really questioning his character, and I'm the crying stuff is a little tongue in cheek here, but I am a little more concerned with all the stuff that comes with that than some of these other prospects. So what's your take on Williams?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we agree there. But if anything, I think, like, him, like, the whole crying thing, that was actually something that, and the plus column for me, just because it showed that he actually cares, which is something that I haven't always been convinced with. He comes off, it's the character thing for me. Obviously, he just has a boatload of talent, and his ceiling is incredibly high, and the comparisons to Patrick Mahomes are there for a reason. Doesn't mean he's going to be him, but you know, the character issue is the one that concerns me. And you know, we were talking about this off air too, and I was like, he reminds me of Bo Callahan from Draft Day, who is a quarterback that has like all the talent, but there are the character issues. And you know, to some, including Ryan Poles, that's important. So I don't know. Just, I mean, again, like you said, I mean, I'd be excited if they got him because his potential as an athlete, but I think him coming to this situation or whatever situation he ultimately lands, because let's be honest, the teams that are up there are just a mess. So whatever situation he ends up going to, whether, you know, it's the Bears or the Giants or the Patriots would probably be the best situation for him, but I don't sure even think that he gets there. better than the Bears and Giants for sure, Ryan. Come on, you have to admit that.
Probably.
But I mean, I don't know how he's going to handle it, because I don't know. He comes off as a me, me, me kind of guy, and I want a quarterback like Justin Fields who he's someone who he's a team guy, right? And he's willing to stand up there at the podium and take the heat when everything's going wrong, even if it's not his fault, right? And he's someone that's not going to necessarily point fingers. Yes, Justin Fields called out the coaches that one time, but it was more so him kind of processing and working through thoughts that were going through his mind. And, you know, there's a lot of information coming at me. So it was kind of him just kind of being honest about it and not pointing fingers and throwing coaches under the bus in that regard. So like you want, that's important too. Obviously, yes, the talent is important. And that's huge. And, you know, Caleb Williams, I mean, he could end up being going on to be just, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We'll have to see. But the character part of it does concern me, unless he ends up in a perfect situation, which, I mean, he's not going to at the top of the draft. So, I mean, I'm a little weary about it. I think I'd probably, if the Bears are in a situation like that, probably lean more towards Drake May just because of that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because these are conversations, especially if the Bears end up with the number one pick, definitely conversations that Ryan, you and I are going to be having on this podcast for months. So yeah,
it'll be fun.
I mean, it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, it will. I mean, I think what I would worry about is like if Caleb Williams doesn't have the Bears on his list of teams that he's willing to play for, because this is what he's talked about openly. Like this is not, I'm not like, and again, I'd rather have that be the quote unquote character issue than something else, right? He seems like he's a good kid, yeah. You know, for sure. And clearly he loves his mom, and that's a good thing, right? You want, you know, you should love your mom. That's a good thing. You should treat your mom well too. But if the Bears aren't on his list and he'd rather, he wants to be playing for a team like the Giants in, you know, a bigger market, or it's not to say the Bears aren't one of the biggest markets in the NFL, because they are, but you know, we know what the Bears are. They've been struggling to say the least, right? So maybe he prefers a team like the Giants and the Bears aren't on his list and he gets drafted by the Bears. Is he going to pout and be mad or demand a trade, or you know what I mean? Like Eli Manning, didn't he force a trade? He was drafted by the Chargers and demanded a trade to the Giants and he got it. So is it going to be one of those things? So this is just why I'm...
Hey, if the Bears have it with Phillip Rivers, I'm good.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, seriously.
I'll take it.
I'm just... That's why I'm concerned. I don't think he's a bad kid. I don't think he's got real quote-unquote character concerns. I just think there's just a little bit too much there. I'd let somebody else deal with that. Drake May, I'm with you. He's probably my favorite guy right now. I think if you're one overall, you might be able to trade back and still get this player, especially if the Caleb Williams hype is still this high. Going into that number one pick, you might be able to trade back and get May, which I think is great. So you would be resetting the quarterback contract. You could quickly build around him. And I like May's size. He's big. He's going to be tough to bring down. He's like 6'4", 220 something. You know what I mean? He's a big guy. When he runs, he's not like Justin Fields. He's more like a Josh Allen type. Like he's going to take a couple guys to bring him down type of runner. So just a different style of player. I like him. I'm intrigued by Drake May. But let me go back to that original question, Alyssa. Are any of these guys right now as we speak, would you take any of these guys over the status quo? Would you take any of these guys over Fields? Caleb Williams, Drake May, no, Nix out of Oregon, Penix out of Washington, JJ McCarthy, Shedeur Sanders. Like, would you take any of these guys over Justin Fields right now as we speak?
Can I add a condition to this?
Of course. This is your podcast. Like, yes.
Yeah. So the thing is, I mean, obviously, if getting rid of Matt Eberflus, if this is what it takes, because that's the thing too, something we need to think about long term with this whole situation, is there are so many changes I think that this franchise, this team could be undergoing in the offseason. I think that starts with the head coach, and Ryan Poles has an interesting decision to make there. And again, maybe he already made the decision, right? We don't know. Maybe because the Bears have never fired a head coach midseason. I don't think they ever will. So if you're moving on from Matt Eberflus, I think that it makes the most sense to go out and start with a new quarterback. But if not, and you're going to give, you know, Matt Eberflus another year, which we saw the same thing with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace that last year, where instead of moving on when they probably should have, right, in 2021, which is when they drafted Justin Fields and you would have had a new coach and a new GM in there and all that. So instead of doing that, you know, you gave them one more year and it was just more of the same. And it was a failed, wasted season ultimately. If Matt Eberflus returns, I don't want them drafting another quarterback, because it's this endless cycle where, you know, you go out and, you know, you have this coach, he gets to draft a quarterback, and then the coach is fired, and then a new coach is brought in and inherits that quarterback, and then the quarterback, you move on from him, and then the coach gets to draft a quarterback, and then he's fired, and then, you know, a new coach, you know, it's the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. and you just kind of want everyone to start on the same page here. So if you're moving on from Matt Eberflus and from Luke Getsy, I think the best choice here is to just go ahead and start with a new quarterback, because again, this would probably be Justin Fields. Yeah, I'm not, well, wouldn't probably, it would be his third offense that he'd be learning. And again, is this the quarterback that, you know, the head coach wants, that, you know, offensive coordinator wants? So I think if you're moving on, I think you just start fresh, clean slate. Otherwise, I think obviously Justin Fields has another year left on his contract. We'll see what the Bears do with that fifth year option. But this is me, Ryan, talking around and really not giving you an answer of what I would do.
That was expertly done. And I think it was well put. I think that makes a lot of sense though.
But I would probably stick with Field. I mean, no, I don't know. That's the thing. Cause like, it depends on these last seven games. How about like we circle back to this question?
Well, we have a weekly podcast, Alyssa. We have a weekly podcast. Yeah. We have to do it now. Okay. We have to do it now, now, now. No, I'm just kidding.
But like my decision might change. Like if Fields goes out there these last seven games and just puts on a freaking show and just shows us why he can be a franchise quarterback, and then you can go out and you can build around him. Obviously, my decision would be to stick with Fields. But mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, in terms of looking long term, it's not even just because of the quarterback necessarily. I think it's because of the situation. I would probably lean towards drafting another quarterback if you're cleaning house and getting rid of Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy, because I don't want the cycle just to continue.
Yep. No, that makes perfect sense. And I think, although I like Fields and I'm rooting for him, I think that's where I am too. And a lot of it comes down to Poles, assuming Poles doesn't get cleaned out too, which I think the Bears are going to give him a little bit more rope than they would an Eberflus. You know what I mean? I think Poles...
Ryan Pace got 7 years.
Yeah. I think Poles gets more rope because you have to let his vision, you know, materialize. And I don't know, like Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, they were finally back on the field, Alyssa. It's like, wow, those two are on the field. Look at that. And you noticed them, right? They played pretty well. And Montez Sweat, you just notice him. Like, he's just so noticeable on the field. He's excellent. He did the post-game walk-off interview. And just looking at Montez Sweat doing that interview, I was just like, oh, wow. We have a real defensive player again. You know, it's just like amazing. It's just like, you're just like, I was just like with hearts in my eyes staring at the TV. I was just like, wow, this is great. Look, it's Montez Sweat. So he's starting to piece this thing together with his guys. And I think before they blow Poles out of town, I want to see him pick his guy. I kind of do. I want to see him to pick his guy. And, you know, whether it's Caleb Williams or Drake May or Bo Nix or one of these guys, like I want him to pick his guy. Bring him in here and let's see it. Let's see it, Ryan Poles. Let's see what your vision is. Let's see what you got. And I'm kind of intrigued by just letting him have that chance to do it. And especially if it means getting the new head coach in here too, because I don't want Eberflus back. You know, I'm done with that experience as well. I think he has to go. So yeah, I think that's where I'm leaning. I'm leaning best case scenario is Poles gets his guy. Maybe he could trade the number one overall pick and still get his guy. I think that would be pretty good. And he could use that capital to keep building a winning roster around that new quarterback. But a lot yeah, is to unpack there. Go ahead.
Like if Ryan Poles does decide to go with his guy, like I think we're both leaning towards, and I think that's what everyone expects.
It took us a while, but yeah, we're both there. Yeah. It took us a while to get there. But
I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I mean, we'll see how it works, but if you're Ryan Poles, then you also have Justin Fields that you could trade. So you could use him and get a draft pick for him if you're deciding to move on with another quarterback, because obviously you have Tyson Bagent as your backup. And, or maybe you bring in the rookie to compete with Fields, but probably not. If you're drafting him at the top of the draft, he should be your franchise guy. But there's a lot of different ways that Ryan Poles could go with this. But I think we're, at least at this point, we'll see what Justin Fields can do these last seven games to hopefully prove him otherwise. But it really does feel like this time Ryan Poles is leaning in the direction of getting his guy, which, like you said, Ryan, I think he deserves that, right? I mean, that's the thing. He deserves to get his pick of quarterback instead of the one he inherited. So, I mean, we'll see.
We will see. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go drink some water during this break, Alyssa.
I feel like it's January.
I know. I'm exhausted. I'm like breathing heavy. I hope whatever I just said during that long ass segment made sense to people listening. I hope it was good radio. I have no idea, but that's just how much there is to unpack about this situation with the Bears, with all the draft picks and all the different ways they can go, and Justin Fields or the new quarterback, or who's going to be here next year, what coach is going to be here. It is just so fascinating. We'll continue to unpack it each week here as we go forward. But we have a ball game to talk about, Alyssa. Bears, Detroit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Bears and the Lions. The line is moving as Justin Fields trends towards starting. We'll tell you where that line is heading, and we'll make some predictions and talk about the game here coming up next. First, here is some fantasy advice for week 11.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to bring you fantasy football strong plays for week number 11. Quarterback Jordan Love, Green Bay Packers versus Los Angeles Chargers. Not only has Los Angeles given up the most passing yards per game to the position at just under 316, quarterbacks have scored a rushing touchdown on 4 occasions this year, and no team has allowed more, which is a nice little bonus to consider. This is the best fantasy matchup of the week, and Love faces a defense that has granted 6 23-plus point performances in 9 games, and they haven't picked off a pass in 3 of the last 5 outings. This matchup is 22.7% better than average in the last 5 games. Running back Tony Pollard, Dallas Cowboys at Carolina Panthers. 3 straight games have passed since Pollard made it into double-digit PPR land, and he has posted only one stat line worth more than 10.5 PPR points since week 3. The Panthers have allowed running backs 1.33 rushing scores per game on the year, and the 15 total touchdowns in 9 contests gives hope for a strong showing. This is the second weakest unit at slowing the position. In the last 5 weeks, Carolina has given up the 4th most rushing yards and the 10th most total yards per game to running backs. Only 8 defenses have permitted scores at a higher rate. Stick with your stud running back in this one. Speaking of struggling studs, Calvin Ridley, Jacksonville Jaguars versus Tennessee Titans. The former Atlanta receiver has been all over the map in 2023, and the last 4 games have seen him post 3 lines with fewer than 7 PPR points apiece, and a 6-catch, 83-yard game to headline that stretch. He hasn't scored a touchdown since week 4. There's a quality opportunity to get on track this week versus a Tennessee unit that has permitted wide receivers to average the 13th most catches and the 12th most yards per game since week 5 ended, and a dozen squads have seeded touchdowns at a higher clip. On the year, 8 receivers have gone for at least 16 PPR points against the Titans, and Ridley should make it 9. Tight end Trey McBride, Arizona Cardinals at Houston Texans. McBride was a fantasy monster in Kyler Murray's first game back from injury, and he's a de facto number 2 receiver in this offense. Houston has given up the 2nd most catches per game to tight end since week 6 began, and this is the 3rd weakest unit at limiting PPR points on average in that time frame. 9 teams have been bigger pushovers when it comes to limiting scores. Expect another strong day from the young tight end. For more award-winning fantasy football news, tips, and advice, please be sure to check out TheHuddle.com.
All right, we're back. The Bears heading to Detroit for week 11. Alyssa, the Bears open as a 10-point underdog when there was, you know, still some uncertainty where the Bears were at with their quarterback situation. Now that we know that Fields is trending towards playing, the line has moved in the Bears' direction. They're now 9-point dogs. So Justin Fields is worth 1 point. What do you think about that?
It's something, I guess. I would still take the Lions in those points, though. I mean, I think that's an easy call right there. But no, I mean, I think that it just goes to speak like the difference between having Justin Fields out there and Tyson Bagent. Again, nothing against Bagent. I think what he was able to do is just really impressive. But at the same time, he was just out there being a game manager. That's when he was at his best, and that's what they needed him to be. But Justin Fields really does bring a little something extra. There's a reason why he was a first-round pick, a top 11 pick in the draft. And I hope that we get to see that on Sunday where, you know, like I mentioned before, this is a game where, you know, this Bears defense, which, I mean, I know kind of got lost in the talk of, like, the future and quarterbacks in this episode. But, like we kind of mentioned at the top of the podcast, you know, they had a really good outing against the Panthers in that really the last several weeks. And while Matt Eberflus, I don't think he should be the head coach of this football team, I think that he's been a really good defensive play caller here. And what he's done with this defense is impressive. Yes, I mean, they haven't really faced tough competition. I believe of the 10 games they played, one team has a winning record. Or maybe 2 now. I don't, you know, it's not really impressive. They've only won, you know, 3 games. And yes, they played the Panthers, and that defense only allowed 6 points. But this rushing defense has been really dominant. They're going to face a tough challenge going against this Lions you know, dual-headed running back tandem in Jahmyr Gibbs and former Bear David Montgomery, who they are the fourth ranked rushing offense. So there's a lot of, like, you know, strength versus strength going at it in this game. So while I ultimately think that the Bears are going to fall well short, this game is in Detroit. So I'm also, you know, giving that, you know, those games tend to be not as, you know, tend to be a lot, or I guess more blowouts in the Lions' favor. So, I mean, I don't think this is going to be as close to that 9-point mark here, but I mean, I'm hoping that some of these matchups will kind of make it interesting to watch, at least at the beginning, before things get well out of control. And obviously, Justin Fields is a big one to watch in this game, too. He's going to need to, in these last seven games, as we mentioned before, you know, really show out. And he has an opportunity against the Lions where you're going to have to score a lot of points to stay in this game.
Playing indoors this year, Alyssa, the Lions have scored 31 against Seattle, 20 against the Falcons, 42 against the Panthers, 26 against the Raiders, and 41 at the Chargers. So that's an average of 32 points per game when they play indoors. I kind of think that's a fair expectation for the Lions here against the Bears, right? Somewhere in the 30s. Can the Bears compete with that? I don't think so. even with Justin Fields in here, right? The question in my mind is, can the Bears get into the low 20s to have a chance of covering the spread? I don't think they have a great chance of winning this ball game. The Lions are... Would you say the Lions have enough juice to win the Super Bowl, Alyssa? Do you think they're a legit contender for that?
I don't know if I'm willing to go that far yet, especially because I know my Lions family will then be listening and have this against me. But I mean, I think that they're contenders for the NFC. We'll have to see, because there are some good teams up there that you have to prove that you can beat the Eagles and the 49ers. And I mean, they have a chance, though. I mean, like, what Dan Campbell's done with this team, though, it's nothing short of impressive. But they're good. I know this is a division game, too, and division games can end up being, you know, a little wonky. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe the Bears scare them. I would take that, Ryan. You know what I mean? I don't expect the Bears to win. I don't expect it to be close. I think it's at least two touchdowns that the Lions win by. But it would be nice in the first half, at least, to really scare them and to keep this game close and for the defense to, you know, to continue to build off of what they've been able to do. We'll see if that happens. But I just think the Lions are just, you know, high and away, like, the better football team, and it's not even close.
You look at the spot here, like, maybe the Lions could be looking ahead, like, looking over the Bears, but their next game is home against the Packers in week 12. So it's not like they're going to be looking ahead to, you know, a showdown with another team that they got to worry about. It's the Packers, right? So I don't think that's playing in the Bears' favor here. They're not going to get an opponent that's going to, it's going to overlook.
The Packers, they're looking past them. I'm like,
they don't need to worry about the Packers in week 12. So they'll actually focus on you. So I don't think the spot favors Chicago, even with Fields coming back, which I think we're all excited about. We're excited to see him play, but I think there's going to be a shaking off of the rust factor there, Alyssa, right?
Yep.
It's hard to picture Fields coming out there and just lighting the world on fire. It's going to take him a little while to get the speed. Like, how many reps has he really taken? It doesn't seem like he's taken a whole lot the last couple weeks. So there'll be a shaking off of the rust. I think the Bears will score a few points. I don't think the Lions are like a complete juggernaut. Sometimes they can play some stupid football too, the Lions, but they're really, really good. And I just see this being like, a to your point, 34-17, 31-17. You know, maybe I'm giving the Bears too many points here. You know, 31-14.
I don't think you're giving the Lions enough.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I know. Yeah.
I mean, if this pass rush can't do anything, Jared Goff has a clean pocket, he is going to obliterate that pass defense. And it's going to be ugly. It could look similar to that game, that last Lions game that they played last season at Ford Field, where they had all these backups and everyone in, and it was just brutal. And it was, I could see something similar to that, only now, like, all your starters are in. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you said, I mean, I think with this game, you know, I want to see Justin Fields go out there and put up some good numbers and do what he can to keep his team, the team that he has, in this game. And then maybe it's, you know, the defense that has the shortcomings, right? Which, I mean, we're talking about, you know, watching Justin Fields over these last seven games. And that's something I think obviously we'll be watching. We want to see what he can do. Like I mentioned before too, I think where this game's going to be won and lost, obviously Jared Goff versus the Bears secondary. But when you look in the trenches, both the Bears and Lions run games are top five in the NFL. Both the Bears and Lions run defenses are top three in the NFL. The Bears are 2 and the Lions are 3. I mean, it's just incredible. Like, that's actually something I'm looking forward to seeing. We'll see if Khalil Herbert comes back. He's still in that 21-day window to come back from IR. Deontay Foreman has just been impressive, rock solid in place of Herbert. So obviously I think he'll be seeing a lot of carries this week, as well as Roshan. We'll see if the Bears, you know, can get something going on the ground. That might be their best way to keep this thing from getting too out of hand. If they can, you know, sustain those drives like we kind of saw against the Raiders and even the Panthers, where you just keep the offense off the field, right? And I think that's your best option going against this high-powered Lions offense that has just been just impressive all season.
I like it. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think the line going from 10 to 9 makes me want to pick the Lions against the spread even more, Alyssa, right? I think I want to take them to cover that. Hey, you're giving me a point back. That's nice. Thank you. I'll take that.
I'd take them at 13.5. I would still take the Lions.
Yeah. The Bears are getting a little bit of love. This is what happens when you win 3 football games, Alyssa, already through 10 weeks. That's pretty good. Now you're getting a little bit more love in the market. I like that. But yeah, at 9 points, give me the Lions. I think there's a lot of factors pointing in their direction. Anything special? Lions, Bears, any big rivalry stories, Alyssa, that you're working on for the site? Anything people should be looking for leading up to kickoff?
Lots of preview content, a lot of Justin Field Center thing. Earlier in the week, I had a couple of posts that went up where I predicted the number of wins left on the Bears schedule, which plays into the draft positioning.
Not many.
As well as ranking their remaining games this season. And in what should not come as a shock to you, 2 of their most difficult games left on the schedule are the Lions. So, and I had this one being the most challenging, I think, just playing it on the road and a Lions team that just really hit their stride. I mean, this could... It could get ugly. But it's nice to see that Justin Fields is coming back, and hopefully... I mean, I don't know when Justin Fields has played this team, he always keeps it interesting, especially last season when he was able just to kind of run all over them. So, I mean, this could be one of those, you know, Justin Fields games. I don't know what those prop bets are out yet, but the rushing yards for Justin Fields, I'd probably take the over.
I like it. That's Alyssa Barbieri. Check her out on Bears Wire. That's the place to be leading up to kickoff and beyond. And as in terms of the podcast, don't leave us 4 stars. Leave us 5. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want, and we appreciate that. Leave a review. Tell us we're great. Tell us we suck. You know, just be honest. Let us know what we could do better, because we want to serve you, the listener. We appreciate you, as always, for hopping on board. Can't wait. Justin Fields is back. I think we're all here for it. Enjoy the game this week, everybody. Thanks for listening again. We'll catch you next week.
And as always, bear down.